I'm joined by Abu Imad, who's in Babramo in Homs. Abu, we've seen demonstrations in Homs today. I don't understand how they're happening if the city is still under bombardment.
Yeah, you know, simply in a simple way to think about it, Homs people is undefeatable. It's that simple because, you know, as you said, the bombardment is still going and we are getting out.
Are you trapped in your home?
Yes. Because, you know, you can't just surrender.
I think I miss a bit of that. Just say that again. Are you actually getting out of your house?
No, I was talking about the people who are now protesting again during the bombardment and despite the snipers around the city.
Just describe what's happening in your neighborhood at the moment in terms of the siege.
Actually, the shelling is still on. Until 1 hour ago, we had more than 30 people killed today in Bab Amr area only, not the whole city, just Bab Amr area. So, the wounded people, most of them can't be helped because we don't have what we need to help them or treat them. We're not finding enough medical supplies or water, or we don't have electricity. By the way, they're cutting off the communication means, mobile phones, internet connections, landlines. Actually, we have nothing.
How can you talk to me now?
Actually, somehow I managed to get an internet connection through satellites, so it's not a regular connection.
And what about the power?
I don't know if now you can hear the generator sounds. We have generators to support the medical supplies that need electricity and for our laptops, because now our laptops are very important to tell the whole world what's going on right now here in Syria.
You said 30 people died today. How were they killed?
By bombardment and sniper shots. You know, they're targeting anything that moves.
Have you seen any of the bodies? Have you seen any of the?
Of course, I've seen a lot of bodies, injured people in the street. Some of them were screaming, please help us. We're still alive. Just help us. Unfortunately, we can't really help them, except for grabbing their wounded by bandits.
The siege has been going on for a week now. Do you fear that they will send ground troops in soon?
Yesterday, the day before, they entered Al-Insha'at neighborhood. It's closed, and it's the neighborhood that is near Bab Amr neighborhood. So, actually, they entered places, and they have thrown the people of that areas out of their homes, and some of them got killed, actually.
What do you think is going to happen in the next few days?
Actually, no one knows. But the only thing that we know, we are not going to surrender in any way. Even if we lose everything, our homes, our children, our brothers, we're not going to surrender.
But how can you fight them?
At least by protesting, at least by staying alive. Just staying alive is fighting back for them, because they're trying to kill us all. And even that they have tanks, rocket launcher, anti-aircraft, military aircraft, we're staying alive. Of course, some of us are being killed, but we're staying alive, and that is fighting for us.
Can you fight them back with weapons?
I'm telling you, if we have enough weapons here in Syria, we would make that regime fall down a long time ago. But that is another problem, that the Free Syrian Army isn't getting help from anyone.
But is it fighting off the army at the moment?
Yeah, they're doing by their little abilities. Here is the problem: you can't fight a tank by Kalashnikov. You can't fight an airplane by RPG. That is another problem. And we're asking the international community to support the Syrian army. It's the legal and legitimate army now in Syria. The regime army now is not the country army. It's the militia's army. And here in Syria right now, we're not calling him an army. We're calling him a well-organized mafia, because it is.
I still don't quite understand how you can survive such a bombardment without food, medication, shelter. Just describe sort of daily life for us.
The daily life. There's something impressive, something very, very can't be described of the people right here. They're sharing everything they have. They're sharing their homes, their basements, the water they have, the food they have. Even we don't have that amount of food, but also despite that, we're sharing what we have. We're sharing the loaf of the bread, because that is the only thing we have. But despite that, we're sharing it with each other.
How long can you last?
We don't know, actually. I think it's a matter of time, but we're not gonna surrender. We have to stay alive. So we can't just simply go back.
Your English is very good. Where did you learn it?
Sorry?
Your English is very good. Where did you learn to speak English?
Actually, I'm an engineer, so that's how I learned English.
And what have you been doing for the last sort of 11 months of the uprising?
At the first of this revolution, I was still going to school, but after some time, I couldn't go back. So I just sat in my house and tried to do something helpful for the revolution. When the attacks began, I think five months ago, when they started to use tanks against the civilians, the unarmed civilians. So I thought I have to do something. I have to do what I can. So what I can is talk with the foreign channels. I can work in the media field. So I'm doing this right now.
What's the mood like in the city? We've seen some scenes of celebration in the past few months when it almost appeared to be liberated. Lots of people demonstrating.
Actually, we have something. We were very happy about it, that we broke the wall of the fear. We're not afraid of anything right now. We were afraid of this regime could do something harmful for us. But now we don't care anymore, because we drove past that point. Now we're just asking for our freedom without any treating. We just want our freedom and dignity, and we're ready to do whatever it takes.
The more recent clips coming out of Homs look extremely frightening. How can you say you're not frightened?
I'm sorry, didn't hear your question.
The clips look extremely sort of graphic and frightening. How can you say you're not frightened?
Of course, when someone near you get killed, you have to be frightened. When your cousin or your brother or even your father get killed in front of your eyes, you have to scream somehow. But after a while, after 1 hour, after 1 day, your activity goes back to you. You feel that you have to complete the way that your father or your brother took. So you have to continue fighting by staying alive, by asking for your freedom, by helping the injured people, by doing anything you can.
Okay, Abu, good luck. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, sir.